Hi, everyone. I know recently we announced we were going to 2 episodes a week and then 3 episodes a week. But you know what? There are just too many episodes. So we are going to back to 5 episodes a week. Still a reduction from 7, but there were just too many interviews scheduled, and I didn't want to make all the authors wait for too long. So I hope you can keep up with me. Listen to 1 a week as you're on your way to work or on your way home or putting your kids to bed or whatever it is you're doing. Moms don't have time to read books now 5 times a week.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the Webby-nominated podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I'm excited to be interviewing Deborah Burns today, who's the author of memoir Saturday's Child, A Daughter's Memoir, a former media chief, innovation officer, and brand leader for Elle Girl, Metropolitan Home, Elle Decor, and Elle Global Marketing. Deborah has helped many brands and execs reinvent themselves. She founded Skirting the Rules, a firm that helps other women find meaningful futures. She currently lives on Long Island with her husband and close to her 3 grown children. So welcome, Deborah. Thanks so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
My pleasure. Thank you, Zibby.
So can you please tell listeners what Saturday's Child, A Daughter's Memoir is about and what inspired you to write it?
So this book is about my very unconventional, larger than life mother. I was an only child who danced around an otherworldly beautiful goddess of a mother. And life with her was really all I knew. She may have been a tad narcissistic, not a word I knew back then. And she was always central to my life. And when she was 56, she got breast cancer, and after some lingering was not a survivor. And more than 20 years after her death, sort of always carrying her with me, my life was changing, and I realized it was time to reflect on that critically important relationship to me. And so the book was born from that reflection, which was full of revelation. And then I got inspired to actually write a book when I was on a trip to London with my own daughter. So the mother-daughter story sort of continues.
And what do you think, aside from the larger than life personality of your mom, and obviously I know having read it, but what do you think is the most distinctive aspect of your relationship with your mom? Like, what did you think made this book worthy?
So I was born into the prim conservative 1950s, and my mother was anything but. I think what makes this book worthy is, even though my relationship with my mother was a unique one, it was a very subtle one. It was one that had a lot of delicateness and intricacies to it. And I lived sort of in the world of gray with my mother, never too sure, is it me or is it her? And somehow, through this one unique story, I managed to help readers see themselves and their own relationships in it. if that makes sense.
I know, for sure.
Everybody always seeks some sort of universal aspect to the book, but I think the themes of narcissism, perception and misperception, illusion are important and in everyone's life to a degree. So, as you know from interviewing so many authors, how this began is not necessarily how it ended up. I took many twists and turns and fits and starts and all kinds of things to get to the book that you just read. And I'm so thankful that it did resonate with you. So I feel that some of its book worthiness is only becoming apparent to me now. Some of the reviews, not only from the industry, I'm going to put those aside, and just the reader reviews. Not a day goes by now where on Instagram or Facebook, people DM me and tell me how helpful the book was to them, or tell me things about my mother that are there for the interpreting, because I have no judgment in the book. And I think there's an optimism to the story that is important to people. So it's becoming more and more bookworthy to me as more people give me their feedback and see themselves in the story.
Well, that was a great answer. I mean, I think there were so many things that made it interesting. I mean, your life in general, like the things that I don't want to give anything away, but I felt like some scenes in the book could have been entire books in and of themselves. So there was a lot of drama, but also just a lot of, you know, the drama of the everyday, really. I liked how you called it, how you realized that you had a quote unquote weekend pals relationship with your mom, because she sort of came and go your whole childhood. She was always out Tuesday nights. That's just what she did. She worked all day. She, you know, did what she wanted on the weekends. Sometimes you sat on a couch and waited for her 2 hours until she was ready. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, my kids won't wait like 2 seconds for me to get ready. So, and you lived with your two aunts in your home who took over most of the mom-like functions when your mom was sort of doing her own thing. So I was wondering, was it enough for you to feel loved by your mom without the time being spent? I feel like there's this trickiness to the time spent versus the amount of love. Is it correlated? Is it not? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, that's a very layered, interesting question that I'll break down a little bit. This book has sparked a conversation around mothers and daughters and women and work. And I think on one level, my mother created a life, crafted a life for herself that suited her needs that mothers today would applaud. It's like, oh my God, she didn't want to do that stuff. So she got her two sisters-in-law who were unmarried to come in, live with her, and take care of absolutely everything. And she never washed so much as a glass again. I applaud it because I want a piece of that, as I'm sure, you know, everyone can see themselves in that. So there's that aspect to it. And I think if my mother were alive and reading this book, she would say, but Debbie, which is what she called me, but Debbie, I did what every mother was supposed to do. I gave you a happy home. You were surrounded by love. And I saw you, you know, occasionally. And I think there is a fine balance there, even today, for time and nurturing. And there is something to be said for presence that needs to be in the mix. And like any other recipe, it's all the balance of the ingredient. And in that balance, I think things were a little skewed or off for me because I had more of some ingredients, but less of others. And I think her absence and her gloriousness in many ways kind of got mixed with an emotional reserve that she had. She wasn't demonstrative, where my aunt and my father's Italian fan were. And she also was kind of on high, so more distant. And it was easy for me as a sensitive child for love and beauty and the quality to get a little tangled for me because she was the way she was. And so I think relating it to children today, I became the mother I needed, which I think is something that we all do. So I made sure that even though I worked and I ended up with a career that grew and grew and took me away more than I ever intended it to at the beginning. But I think what I tried to do at the very least was shape the relationship with children so that no matter what, they knew they came first and they were fully loved. So that's how it kind of worked its way out for me and for my own family. I think I had to go through a relationship with my mother so that I could process it. And all mothers intend to evolve for the better. Like with each generation, you have to reject something from the generation before, because that's the nature of progress and evolution. And so what I tried to do in my own life was work. And I had another world. I had a life where I existed in another world beyond being a suburban mother of three. But at the same time, I blended qualities that made my children feel fully loved.
Well, that sounds like you hit it out of the park. I mean, that's really all we can do.
Right? Yeah, for all of us. I know you have four, I think. And
yeah.
And you know, I just said to you in an email, I watch in awe because you're building and branding and establishing yourself so thoroughly in an industry with a powerful footprint. And I know the kind of time that takes and energy. And so I'm full of appreciation for what you're able to accomplish.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet. So let's get back to your book for one second. So you have this one conversation with your mom, which stayed with me a lot. And she says, it's not easy being a grown-up. And you respond, it's not easy being a kid. And then you ask her what the hardest part is for her. And she says, I guess it's the difference between what you want and what you get. So I just wanted you to talk to me a little about that. And it sounds to me like you'd have ended up with what you wanted, but perhaps that she just never really did. And maybe that goes to her relationship with the role of Dom in the book, which I won't get into, but.
So there was always an air of disappointment that I picked up from my mother. She never spoke about it. She never drove home points to me. But it was very clear to me at an early age that my mother was an extraordinary woman living an ordinary life. And that was a sore spot for me because I was always on her team and championing her and never judged any of her actions, never had any resentment toward her in any way, which I never really looked at carefully until I was in my own midlife. And so she did not get what she wanted. And in so many ways, she had all the attributes to get what she wanted. And I think that was always a little bit of a disconnect for me and a little bit of an insecurity in the sense that if this woman could get what she wanted. You know, she looked like Rhea Hayworth when she woke up in the morning, and it only got better from there. She was also extremely smart and excelled in history and math. Of course, when you're that beautiful, you can be in life too beautiful. And when you're that beautiful, no matter what your other attributes are, your calling card is always superficial. And how you look. And that was no different for her. But when you live with someone who is so unattainable and so majestic, what it does to the child who doesn't look quite like her is to say, well, you know, if she's not happy, if she didn't get what she wanted in life, what hope is there for the rest of us? And so that notion of being difficult to be an adult is something that I was always very mindful of at an early age. And I think it shaped a certain path for me in that even though I might have been a little uncertain, I did not want to lead an ordinary life. I almost wanted to kind of step in and be a completion of something for her to make things come full circle. And so whether it was something I had to prove to her or to myself, not being ordinary became important to me.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
That makes sense. I mean, I feel like your mother, if she lived today, like it would be so much easier for her to get the attention that she was craving back then, but there just wasn't the means for it. You know what I mean? Like she would just you do YouTube videos of herself and, you know, there she'd be all over the place. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there wasn't a forum for somebody like her back then. And so it led to so much frustration. So I don't know if it's good or a bad thing that now, you know, anybody can sort of like pop themselves onto the public scene, if you will, but I don't know.
Well, certainly for her today, I've been asked a lot, what would your mother do if she was born in another generation? And, you know, I do see her as an actress. Mm-hmm. I think she, you know, with the whole hashtag movements that are around, you know, I think she would have in another era actually become an actress. I see her as that, you know, with her own, I don't know if it would be a YouTube following, but she'd certainly have her own Instagram persona without a doubt. But I also always see her in relationship to someone else. And so I see her being very happy at someone's side and helping them build something together. I think my mother was a man's woman. Mm-hmm. She was a woman's woman too. She had a lot of friends, but she was a man's woman. I think she really liked that whole dynamic and fed off of it. Very much liked being the different woman, the one who could mingle between the worlds of women and the worlds of men. And that set her apart in many ways for her era. Mm-hmm. Might not be the same now. So whether she would be married to someone like a Ted Turner, you know, I could see her doing that kind of thing and loving to move the pieces around on the chessboard of life with someone important at her side, that kind of thing. So one or the other, or maybe both. Jane Fonda was an actress and married to Ted Turner. So maybe she would have done the same thing. And I think my father, who was so musically inclined would probably have loved the platforms of today.
Mm-hmm.
All of his efforts creatively never kind of made it through the music industry matrix, the life of the time and DJs or whatever. But today would have been different. And he had a strong business sense. So I think he would have loved it and probably ended up producing. That's how I see him today. And, you know, they're both so important to each other's stories. I would wish them well, maybe even in independent lives from one another.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like your relationship with your dad and the way you wrote about him was just as poignant. I know it focuses more on your mother, but you did subtitle it a daughter's memoir, not like a mother-daughter memoir, which I think is important.
Sure.
Because your relationship with your dad was super relevant to all of it. And sometimes it seemed a reaction to your relationship with your mom. But the way that you wrote about what happened to him after his hernia surgery, and I won't like go into any details because I don't want to give anything away, but the way you wrote about that and your feelings about him and the closeness and it was so good. And I was just wondering what you thought about when one parent kind of takes up all the air in the room, what happens to that other relationship?
Sure. Well, my mother eclipsed everything for me, maybe because my aunts were there too. I loved them and I knew they loved me, but my prize was winning my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that chase and that longing just was preeminent for me. And so my father and my aunts, as much as I loved them, were a little diminished by the qualities of the relationship with my mother. And had I been more certain of her love and devotion, it might have been different for the other people in the household, for the other adults in the household. But unfortunately, he was just not the same intense focus that my mother was. That said, he was extraordinarily important to me. And by the time I finished the book, I realized I'm so much like him. And this has been a completion, not only for my mother, but for my father as well. I was able to do things in my own life that fulfilled some hope or mission for him. And did I answer your whole question?
That was great.
That was
great. It was great. It was good.
In my relationship with him.
No, it's great. I just liked hearing a little more about it. I know we're almost out of time now, but tell me, I want to hear more about Skirting the Rules. I spent a long time on that website last night and, you know, reading out questions. And anyway.
I'm a creator too.
You are?
I am a creator too. So this has been a creative journey that has taken years to get to the book that you held in your hand. And as I said at the beginning, it was sparked by this notion to write. It happened while I was in London and I was looking at portraits of maverick women and unconventional women from the 18th century. And as usual, I was thinking about my mother and picturing her in their time. And then like a movie scene or a lightning strike, I got hit with this notion where I became compelled to write, to learn about these women and write more about them. The phrase skirting the rules came into my head. And so fast forward 6 years later, Skirting the Rules is a trademarked brand. And even before this book came out, it opened the door to helping women understand themselves more deeply and to kind of share the beginning of my own reinvention journey. So the site is You're Not There Yet. Thank you for taking the quiz anyway, but the site is more for women who need to reinvent their lives. And my work world has really always been about invention and reinvention and working with brands, and even more so since the magazine brands that I worked on kind of looked their digital future in the eye and really didn't know what to say next. Everything is in a state of reinvention in challenging times as everything accelerates and swiftly moves from an old story to a new one. And the process of writing this particular book, which took 15 months nonstop, where I put everything else in a drawer and basically took my first sabbatical ever, because the moment to write this book and tell this story was now, I decided that there were so many lessons in that I would create a program that helped other women who were 50 plus kind of be the author of their own lives. Because I went through certain steps to get here, and I thought that that was a worthy endeavor to help other women, because always working in women's media, I know there's one struggle, and that is women are searching for something. And my own authentic journey can maybe illuminate some spots and some paths in the road. And so I started doing it at libraries. And while I was writing the book, that was the one thing I did. I would have a Skirting the Rules course, and it's an 8-step program. And I work with women. And now I'll be starting to work with corporations on helping women invent and reinvent for their best futures. So all of this kind of came out of the book and that first impulse to write about my mother. And it led to all of these other things.
Wow. Well, how great is that? You end up helping all these other people. I mean, that's wonderful.
Who knew?
And
now it seems that there might be workshops for boomer mothers like me and their millennial daughters.
Oh, interesting.
I know we're almost out of time, but it is an interesting point. My generation of mothers is really the first to have careers en masse. And now the world is changing, as we talked about, and millennials, who are our prodigy, want more balance in their lives. And they may not want the same things that we wanted. You know, I kind of unraveled the myth of my mother and humanized her as part of the process of writing the book. And there are many myths around women and work and achievement, especially as the corporations that hired my generation are melting away and transforming from hundreds of thousands of corporations into millions and millions of untethered millennials trying to find their next thing. And so it's a never before seen moment in time where our daughters may not be able, at least on paper, title-wise, surpass the boomer mothers of my generation. And that's fascinating to me. And it opens the door to a gazillion new conversations.
Do you have any parting advice to aspiring authors out there?
I do. Well, first of all, there's a stick-to-itiveness that is a part of writing. And everyone seems to go through the same motions of reading what they wrote and saying, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. No one will ever read this. I think I'm an enormous fan of women's voices. And I think there are so many stories that need to be told. And I think getting it out in draft form and just accepting that every finished book is like draft 392, and life is in the editing, and the book is no different. So stick with it and keep refining.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your coming on the show and taking all your time and sharing your story with us.
It was so great, and keep doing what you're doing as well. So impressed.
Thank you. All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. You can follow me on Instagram at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music. Thanks for listening. You could always email me at zibby@zibbyowens.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.